Welcome to the Random Thoughts Podcast with your host, Dr. B. Welcome to the Random Thoughts Podcast with your host, Dr. B. Guys, before we continue, I just wanted to let you know that I made a mistake in my prior podcast. I stated that Google data centers used 29 billion gallons of water last year. I believe that was my statement. However, I was also a victim, and which shows like the inaccuracies and the errors in AI. I kind of did a quick search to try and figure out what the total was, and I read that little thing on the top that kind of is just a summary, and clearly AI generated, and it miscommunicated, and I provided that data to you. I promise I'll be more thorough in the future and make sure that I collect all the correct data. So per Google themselves, last year their data centers in total consumed 4.3 billion gallons of water, which is compared to water needed to irrigate and maintain 29 golf courses in the Southwest U.S. each year. However, they do endorse that they are committed to doing the use responsibly, and they've been trying to use alternatives to fresh water whenever possible, like wastewater, industrial water, and seawater. So again, I'd like to apologize, and it just re-demonstrates the errors in AI, because if someone is just taking a quick search, they'll be provided with inaccurate information. All right, let's go on to today's topic. Today, I really want to talk about identity and how the groups we identify with, groups that are supposed to bring unity and a sense of belonging, can actually cause isolation and separatism. A friend of mine who's a Latina was telling me she was looking for a therapist that's specifically a Latina therapist because she felt like only a Latina therapist will identify and understand the struggles that she is going through. And although I do think that there is something to be said about having someone with a similar background as you identifying to similar struggles that you've gone through, to say that only one group of people can take care of you might be an inaccuracy of thought. Now, this is withstanding and knowing that research shows that people of color do better when their doctors are Black, and women are better physicians statistically than men, right? There's research out there that does show that people do better when the person that looks like them cares for them. I don't think that's necessarily due to race, but the fact of implicit bias and the fact that they are not taught, right? There are physicians and care providers who are not taught how to care for people who are different than them. The standard medical model is that of a 70-kilo white man. And if you have not interacted or associated with other people who are outside of your race, then you tend to believe and just focus on what you know. Also, there's just explicit bias, right? This is a country that's built on racism and a large sense of othering and otherness. And so I don't think it's necessarily due to their race, but because they're being heard in a way that some providers are not hearing. I do think that there are culturally competent physicians who happen to be white that provide excellent care for their Black patients and for their minority patients and for their Asian American patients and their brown patients. I do think across the spectrum, there are excellent physicians who are focused on cultural competency and who are focused on how a marginalized group has been made to feel. And so they take the extra time and care necessary where we perpetuate the belief that only one group of people can take care of you, then it will further the divide. I think it's important to have that in your mind, noting that there are a lot of unhealed. No offense to the older generation physicians, but especially a generation of physicians where cultural competency wasn't the main focus. There's a group of physicians who don't factor that in and will assume that your response is secondary to who you are, instead of taking your cultural background and your identity into the mix in a way that a physician or a clinician that looks like you will do. But there are I think it what bothers me is that it takes away from the ones who do the work and who have done the work and who continue to do the work and who just want what's best for their patients. Yeah. But I guess it's hard to know who those people are, especially in today's society. It's hard to know who's really out there for you and trying to support you when there are those out there that are not for you. It's definitely difficult. And I know it's not black and white. Nothing is. But I just want to give food for thought. Just something to give you pause. Maybe you can still go ahead and get someone that looks like you. But I think it's important to always pause and think, is there someone else? Is there a group that maybe doesn't look like me, doesn't have my background, but willing to identify me in a way that I didn't think possible before. Identify with me in a way that I didn't think we were capable of doing. To dive a little deeper, this is a problem not only in the medical sphere, but like daily life, where people put identity above everything else. Before people go and try to misunderstand me and misunderstand what I'm saying, I understand togetherness. I understand identifying with your group and feeling like your team needs to win, right? Your group of people need to win. I understand it. I get it. But when it comes to the detriment of others, or when it comes to like us versus them mentality and othering people, that's when it goes a bit too far. And you see it, if you look closely, you can see it in everything, right? One of the main ways in which this is demonstrated recently is politics. Instead of the focus for a lot of candidates being on what are their policies and how can they best support me and my community, instead, I hear a lot of people like, oh, well, what race is this person? What group do they identify it? Is he Jewish? Is he Muslim? Is he black? Does he see me? And as I said, I do think that there's something to be said about someone who's gone through and identified with similar struggles, but it's not the end all be all. And when you just focus on race and you focus on religion and you just focus on one identifying factor of a person, their race, their religion, their sexual identity, their immigration status, then you simplify that person to being one dimensional. You take away all their other attributes to make them one type. And I think about that a lot, especially with the fact that I have a lot of identity flags, right? I'm a woman, I am black, I am an immigrant, I am first generation college student, first generation doctor. I carry a lot of labels. There's a multitude. I do know that with those labels come an identity that you feel unseen because others tend not to understand, which is understandable. I will say there are things that I now understand as a mother that I didn't understand before. There are things that I went through as a first generation college student that I doubt my counterparts who had generational wealth understood, especially in medical school. But that doesn't mean they weren't supportive of me. That doesn't mean that they weren't sympathetic to my struggle. And that doesn't mean that we didn't have other common ground. I think when you just focus on one label and seeing this person as one label, then that causes you to become separatist. And that causes, if you're just focusing on, well, I don't know if this person is good for me because they're black, or I don't know if they will understand because what have you, because they didn't have the same upbringing as me, you take away the person's ability to show you who they are. And maybe they won't understand, but there's a possibility that they will. And maybe you'll come out the other side with a new friend. Yes, our identities play a huge role of who we are. But if we let it be the first thing that leads us and we cause ourselves to detract from others, then it's going to continuously put us in a bad spot. It's going to take away from what unifies us, our similarities. And I know that I live in America where color is just right there, right? Color is just fucking at the forefront with everything. Color and then sex and then religion. It's like there's every means in which they can use to divide, they do. And I know it's easier said than done, but it's really not as black and white as we pretend. We have to actually sit down and try to get to know people and their policies and their beliefs and their convictions and what drives them, because you might realize that your best friend maybe doesn't have the same background as you, and that's what makes it beautiful. Diversity breeds strength. And I think that's something that we've forgotten. I think the fear of being replaced, the fear of going back to the past, especially in this current administration, right? There's just an immense amount of fear surrounding identity. And so a lot of people who have considered othered or disabled or kind of feel like they've been pushed aside. I think that's a major tactic. And if we allow them to divide us, that's how you do it. They divide and conquer, right? They make sure we only see our differences so that then they can take the profits. They see that we can see our differences so we can keep separate from each other instead of focusing on how they're fucking screwing us over. And I hope people start looking at, yeah, sure, this person might be trans, or this person might be black, or this person might be white, this person might be a woman, this person might be Mormon, this person might be poly, but we are fighting for the same fucking thing. We just want to be free. But Dr. B, what about racism? What, Dr. B, what, look what they did to women. A woman couldn't have a credit card until the 1970s. She had to be under her husband. Dr. B, the Civil Rights Act wasn't passed since 1964. Why aren't you focusing on that? Dr. B, what about the Japanese being placed in concentration camps? What about us? And the thing is, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Because we isolated and separated from each other, they were allowed to do it for each of our groups. Because we didn't stand together, because we stayed quiet, because we stay quiet, because we're not advocating and pushing forward, we are allowing them to separate us and to isolate us, and then they're able to do what they do. That's why immigrants in general are getting deported again, because it's a means of control. They're isolating a group, and a lot of people are saying, well, it's not really us, it's not our group, it's not a, but not yet. And history should show us that it might not be you now, but it will be. It has been. History has shown us that they keep coming back after different groups. Maybe you should look at that. Maybe we should learn to stand together. So that the next time when they come after the immigrants, we're like, well, nah, you're not coming for the immigrants, because I know that next it can be women, right? Next it can be people of color. We need to look as a group and say no more. We are for each other. We support each other. And maybe we don't believe in the same things, and maybe we don't believe in the same God, but we all just want to be free. We all just want to live our lives. We all just want a home, right? We all just want to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that's what's been promised to us. So why can't we have it? And why can't we stand together and make sure we get it together as a team? Because united we stand, divided we fall. And I really, really wish that people saw that more. I wish people saw how important it is for us to be together, especially in this instance. And for those who, you know, maybe aren't ready to protest, who are scared, who are afraid, that's not the only way to advocate. That's not the only way to stand up. That's not the only way to let your voice be heard. This is especially now, like I said, in the New York City mayoral election is going, a lot of midterms are getting on the way. Like, that's when you vote. Vote. Sorry, midterms next year. Midterms next year on the way. But vote. Call your senators. Right? Let them know that this is not what you stand for. Let them know that this is not what you are about, that this is not what you agree with, that if they continue to vote against your best interest, that you're going to vote them out. Learn the bills that they're voting for. Sit down and read them. Yeah, they might be long, but it's crucial information regarding your rights. Look at the candidates that are running. Make sure you know their platforms. Make sure you understand what they're running on and how it can negatively impact you. So these candidates are going to end up controlling our lives anyway. So you got to make sure the person that is making decisions on your life, on your livelihood, on your children, on your that laws that can negatively impact your children and maybe even their children, make sure that that person is someone you agree with. Not because they're white, not because they're black, not because you think they look like you or they have the same sexual proclivities as you or they like who you like or they're a woman like you. No, because their policies align with your core beliefs.